Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast on this fine Sunday evening, January 15th, and this is episode 23-01, the first podcast of 2023. As many of you know, most of you know, we had cascading failure of just epic proportions at Liberty Ranch. And so we lost about 2.5 weeks of our lives. It's going to take us about 3.5 weeks getting caught up. I'm going to fill you guys in on that because so many of you stepped up to help us in a time of need. We want to just say thank you. We can't thank everybody. You know, broken pipes, busted well pump, electrical on fire. I'll give you the briefing. People have been asking, "Hey, we'd love to hear some of the prepping tips. You know, what did you learn from this, and what measures could have prevented some of this, and how'd you deal with this or that?" So I'll do that for you guys. Maybe next week, and I'll probably put up a posting because there were some great lessons learned. But I just wanted to say we got water back a week ago, and fix all the broken pipes and replace the well pump and the new water pressure tank and insulation, new wiring, new everything. It was pretty monumental. But there's no way to thank all of you. We received donations. We just asked for just $10. And some of you guys gave more, some of you much more than that. But God bless all of you guys that just sent $10 in. It made the difference. It made it doable. And it made it tolerable, and it was very encouraging knowing that there was that much support out there. But we received letters to the P.O. box that were just anonymous, no return address, no name, nothing, just God bless. And so there's no way to thank them, so we'll try to reach those who we can, and we know that you guys know that we're grateful. But anyway, a quick shout out. If you guys are listening on an AM radio or an FM radio, you're listening to a Black Echo rebroadcasting station, and they're all across the country, and they play their own podcasts and music and put out news and notifications throughout their neighborhoods on these low-power FM broadcasters or AM broadcasting transmitters. So that's what you're listening to. That is a Black Echo broadcaster in your neighborhood. Welcome to all of you that are listening on Black Echo. And you might hear something similar to this, a public service announcement to let you know what you're listening to. And since I haven't played one of these in a long time, let's listen here. Black Echo, you are listening. Stand by. You are listening to a locally operated, low-power Black Echo rebroadcasting station as part of AMRON, the Nationwide Emergency Radio Operators Network. Your local Black Echo station operator has invested valuable resources and time to serve your community by providing news and information during a disaster or other emergency. Stay tuned for news and updates. This is your local Radio Free Redoubt Black Echo rebroadcasting station. And there you go. There was a series of little sound bites and little PSAs that I put together as a package that our Black Echo rebroadcasting station operators have downloaded and added to their list of audio files. So welcome. You guys be safe out there ripping around on your snowmobiles for the Winterfest celebration. Good to have you with us. All right, now let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, the Prepping 2.0 podcast to help take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. Before I get into that, the main topic tonight in segment two is going to be OPSEC. I'm just going to be reintroducing it because it's a topic that we have not focused on in quite some time. Several folks recommended this would be a good time to remind patriots the way the world's changing very quickly. Operational security, keeping your information secure. So I'm going to do a reintroduction to the subject of OPSEC. It's a military term, operational security. And I'll talk about PERSEC, personal information security, InfoSec, ComSec, communication security. Like I said, it's just going to be an introductory level. And then I might do maybe a part two to this next week to go a little deeper into some of the information about how we can keep our information secure and why. So, from the Forward Observer Intelligence Services, Russia is moving additional troops and equipment into Belarus. Trains carrying Russian troops and equipment are arriving in Belarus. This is a week old now. I had it from my notes last week when I was hoping that I was going to be able to do a show, but this comes amid concerns that a joint Russian-Belarus army group will launch an attack into Ukraine territory from the north. So things are escalating over there. We are continuing to watch that very closely. Of course, NATO and the United States are not helping things in that area as far as de-escalating things. I'll get to that in just a minute. Right now, most of you guys know the World Economic Forum 2023 meeting in Davos, Switzerland is going on right now. These guys are planning the Great Reset. They even use the term the Great Reset. I expect that these world leaders in the United States has sent a bunch of them. All the NATO countries have sent a bunch of them. China, South America, 80% of the countries in South America have delegates in Davos. World leaders, business leaders, bankers. I expect that these guys are going to hit the ground running when they get back to their respective countries in a week from now. I believe that they're going to come out of the gate at a full sprint with this Great Reset agenda of completely, fundamentally changing the Western civilization. Of course, China is going to be there. All the players are going to be there. You're going to see all kinds of stuff come out of that. And we're going to be covering that this week on the morning commute each morning at 7 a.m. Out of Spokane with my bride, Lady Liberty, who will be joining me in segment three tonight. But one of the speakers is a German scientist. This just came out in Breitbart. Individual CO2 limits needed to fight climate change. This climate change is a new cult. It's the religion that they are going to be ramming down our throats starting next week. An individual carbon dioxide limit should be applied to every person in order to establish a planetary guardrail in the effort to combat allegedly man-made climate change, a leading German scientist has argued. This leading German scientist is Hans Joachim Schellenhuber from the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. He said every person should have a limit of 3 tons of CO2 emissions per year, and those who exceed their limit should be forced to pay for the pleasure. That's these ultra-control, hyper-control globalist communists have in store for us. And that's not all. They're going after the food supply. From the Gateway Pundit, tastes just like real meat. Beetle burgers are going to be hitting mass production to help feed the world. We don't need bugs to help us feed the world. We have an amazing agriculture industry, but these guys, that's unsustainable. Crops are unsustainable. Beef, unsustainable. Any of the food that we're accustomed to eating and have been for thousands of years, unsustainable. No, it's just leading to climate change. And so now, you know, the answer is beetle burgers. Last year, the World Economic Forum promoted the European Union's new plan to use mealworms in food in their bid to reduce meat consumption. This is what they said. Livestock around the world is responsible for around 14.5% of all greenhouse gas emissions related to human activity. The need for land, whether for grazing animals or growing crops to feed animals, is the single greatest driver of deforestation. That's not true. With major consequences for biodiversity loss. You could feed the entire world with the agriculture land we have now without ever cutting down a tree. And in abundance, if people would stop using food as a weapon. But you wouldn't even need GMO food. You wouldn't need all the chemicals that's used. But anyway, the Readout Report had picked up an article from the Gateway Pundit. They've since pulled the story. I don't know why, but it's out there. I went straight to defense.gov. And speaking of escalating this war in Europe, and NATO just chomping at the bit and trying to find ways of getting us involved directly. Now, Ukrainian troops are headed to the U.S. for Patriot missile training. Weeks after announcing that the U.S. would send one Patriot air defense battery and associated munitions to Ukraine, a Pentagon official said Ukrainian soldiers will come to the U.S. to train on the Patriot system so they'll be ready to use it when it's delivered. Probably the first installment. They're not just going to send one. These guys are sending, I think it's over $100 billion now we've spent on Ukraine that we'll never get back to protect the elite deep state's investments and chemical or biological plants and who knows what all the economic stuff they're involved in over there. News from across the nation. From the, hey, we're communists and we love erasing your national history segment of the news. This comes from Yahoo News. The Pentagon has started the process of renaming Fort Bragg and other bases. This is my old stomping grounds. As well as ships and hundreds of signs and roads as it plans to scrub ties to the Confederacy from all installations by the start of 2024. It's a heavy undertaking, the article says, that includes new names for 9 Army bases. Bragg will become Fort Liberty, which will represent nothing but anything but liberty with this regime. 2 Navy ships and upward of 1,000 other items located on America's military installations. But Brigadier General Pat Ryder, the Pentagon's press secretary, told reporters Wednesday he was optimistic it could all be done within the year. They aren't going to waste any time continuing to scrub our American history. Look, good or bad, it's part of our history. You got to know where we came from. You got to know what the war was fought about. You got to know how we got here. This is your identity. It's like your memory, like erasing your memory. After they wipe out your history, your national memory, then they can tell you who you are. They can tell you who you are because they've wiped out your memory. Your history is gone. Then they get to redefine who you are. This is just appalling, but that's what communists do. From the Federalist, the court says to the ATF gun grabbers on their bump stock ban, they said they're not machine guns and you don't make the rules. Isn't that cool? Well, sadly, they're still trying to make the rules though, because now they've got the wrist brace for AR pistols. Oh, it's illegal. No law, no legislature has passed the law. It's just ATF making up rules as if they were law. Well, a lot of pushback is coming, lawsuits are coming, and And we're hoping that the courts put the ATF right back in their place, not where they belong, but in their place as far as the court is concerned. Where they belong is disbanded. They need to just be no more. And what a time that we're living into. This is from last week. I had last week's notes. Representative Crenshaw, you know, McCain 2.0, calls the Republicans that refused to vote for McCarthy because they were negotiating a better position to put him in a straitjacket, calls us terrorists. He said, he called the group of his party, Republicans, colleagues, terrorists, and children for repeatedly blocking Kevin McCarthy, Rhino, his election as Speaker of the House, a barrier to getting the new Congress in gear that hasn't happened in a century. And here's his quote. "Look, you pushed us into this corner," Crenshaw said of the Republican holdouts. God bless them. On the Guy Benson show, he says, "So now we're saying we won't vote for anyone but McCarthy. That's why we're saying it, because we cannot let the terrorists win," Crenshaw said about the Republicans. It's a sad day in America. He's a vet, too. He's a former Navy SEAL. Unbelievable. Well, there's some good things happening. Illinois, you guys know, I mean, this isn't good, but they passed a law last week called Protect Illinois Communities Act. It was signed into law by the governor, Pritzker, and it went into effect immediately. There's no, you know, 90 days, 60. No, it's like as soon as he signed it, it's in effect. And it essentially bans what they call assault weapons. But, I mean, a ton of them. Well, sheriffs, Illinois sheriffs, are saying they will not enforce this unconstitutional firearms ban. And what is it? It's like 30 counties, or I'd have to look again. But listen to what this governor, Pritzker, says. He's threatening law enforcement officials who have publicly stated they will not enforce the state's new draconian and unconstitutional ban on so-called assault weapons. And that was reported by Hot Air. Pritzker, without detailing exactly how he planned to do so, has threatened to fire any law enforcement officers who refuse to enforce the ban. Molon Lave, right? Stand by, sheriffs. Thank you for standing up for American heritage and the rule of law. But there's more. State of Washington, they have an assault weapons and rifle ban, banning all your rifles, this article says. And this is coming from Gun Owners of America. They're saying contact your state senator and your state representative to stop Senate Bill 5193 and House Bill 1240. Go to Gun Owners of America, look this up. They've got, or you can click on the button, take action. But this is what it says. The anti-gun left is at it again. Washington's SB 5193 and HB 1240 are one of their strongest attacks on your Second Amendment rights. Radical leftist Senator Patty Cooterer and Representative Strom Peterson are attempting to disarm the law-abiding citizens of Washington while criminals run amok, committing their violent acts with little to no consequences. Senator Cooterer and Representative Peterson's bill bans over 65 rifles, furthering the radical left's agenda and adding more gun control for the Washington people, the peace and law-abiding people of Washington, who have committed no crimes. 65 guns, including military-looking weapons, detachable magazines. These are rifles that take detachable magazines. They're going to require a thumb hole stock for rifles. Because you know you can't shoot anybody, you're not supposed to, if it has a thumb hole stock in it, right? Rifles under 30 inches, folding or retractable stocks, conversion kits and parts, foregrips and rails. That's an accessory rail for putting a flashlight on. Threaded barrels of any kind. Why? Has barrels Rifle barrels having threading on them contribute to any mass shootings, any deaths related to the rifle because it has a threaded barrel. Loaded weapons and 7-round magazine capacity. That's just to name a few. So anyway, that, like I said, that comes from Monty Bowen, Pacific Regional Director for the Gun Owners of America, who are just doing an awesome job fighting for our Second Amendment rights. Love those guys. From Just the News, a U.S. court ruling upholds federal funding for religious colleges with traditional values. Hallelujah, a victory. Now, the plaintiffs was a group of LGBTQ plus former and current college students are considering an appeal to this court's decision, but a federal judge in Oregon dismissed the lawsuit from this group of 40 plus LGBTQ whatever individuals against the U.S. Education Department challenging Title IX exemption that allows religious colleges to receive federal funding even if they do not adhere to the civil rights law's prohibition on sex-based discrimination by holding traditional religious beliefs on sexuality and gender. There is nothing in the Constitution. Matter of fact, the Constitution explicitly protects your religious rights, God-given rights, and there's nothing that gives LGBTQ people special privileges, and there's nothing that says they can't continue getting funding. But these guys are going to keep trying. They're going to keep trying. All right, stick around. Segment two coming up. Talk about introduction or reintroduction to OPSEC when we come back. You guys stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. This is not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night.
Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt, segment two. I am John Jacob Schmidt. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. If that's where you've been looking to move, well, make your move soon while you still can before they lock the borders and don't let you out of wherever you are. But patriots only, by the way. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right, now in this topic, this segment, I want to talk about OPSEC. That stands for operational security. Other subcategories of that deal specifically with personal information, PERSEC, InfoSec, information documents, and COMSEC, communications security. I'm going to focus in very general terms just on OPSEC. Now, OPSEC, go to Wikipedia, right? It's got multiple people contributing to that, and this all stuff taken from the DOD website. It's this analytical process, that goes into it. But let me just read part of that. OPSEC is the process of protecting individual pieces of data that could be grouped together to give the bigger picture called aggregation. And OPSEC is the protection of critical information deemed mission essential from military commanders, senior leaders, management, or other decision-making bodies. The process results in the development of countermeasures, which include technical and non-technical measures, such as the use of email encryption software, taking precautions against eavesdropping, paying close attention to a picture you have taken, such as items in the background, or not talking openly on social media sites about information on that unit or activity or organization's critical information list. The term operations security was coined by the United States military during the Vietnam War. That's a pretty good, that's right in the kind of the middle. That's the meat that I pulled out of that. And that's a pretty good overview of what OPSEC is. I kind of have my own definition of it based on having been involved in OPSEC in the military and as a DOD contractor and other things. But I would say OPSEC is actions taken or measures employed to deny an adversary access to information which could reveal sensitive operational planning, organizational structure, or any other information about your operations which could give an adversary a strategic or a tactical advantage over you. Proper OPSEC is a habit that you need to begin developing before you need it, before a threat emerges, like now, when there isn't a so-called adversary. Or is there? Recent documents just showed that the FBI and other intelligence entities have been illegally spying on American citizens. So when does OPSEC become important? Or when it does become important, you want to begin developing the habits now so that it is already ingrained in you. Like most of us that were in the military, it was hammered into us. I remember when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, it always bothered me where we would go and get our haircut. I had a lot of civilian German nationals and other nation nationals working on the base. And the barber where we would go get our haircuts is a nice old German gentleman who asked lots of questions. It always bothered me how these troops would jump up in the chair. Hey, how you doing? What you been up to? Oh, just getting ready to go. Oh, you're getting ready to go to the field. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, what unit? I'm such and such armored or infantry. Oh, yeah, yeah, those are the days. So where are you going this time? Oh, we're going up to blah, 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 blah. And they would just spill their guts on everything about their unit, what they're doing, where they're going. And at that time, this is during the Cold War. This is just before the wall fell. And West Germany is chock full of spies from East Germany and the Soviet bloc. And we were warned of it all the time. They were constantly just hammering us with it. You know, all the posters, you know, the enemy is listening. OPSEC, depends on you. We're, OPSEC is all of our responsibility. And they do, you know, girls from the Eastern Bloc, you know, trying to flirt with soldiers downtown or, you know, everywhere you go. So he just asked way too many questions. OPSEC was just, it's not foolproof. Nothing is foolproof. People in our own military and our government undergo rigorous background checks and security clearance investigations, and we still end up with careless mistakes, letting their guard down, and even intentional espionage, which gives our nation's enemies valuable information that can harm us. I mean, Senator Swalwell was sleeping with a Chinese spy, female Chinese spy, and he's on the Intelligence Committee of Congress, of all things. So as much as measures as we can take or try to take, you know, nothing's foolproof. People are fallible. They're going to make mistakes, or they're going to be exploited, or they're going to do things that are make them subject to blackmail, or they just, they become bitter and they want to sell you out because they want to harm you, or a number of different reasons. But you want to start OPSEC practices now. You cannot go back and undo giving information to someone. So who's the adversary? Well, that depends on a number of different things. Now, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we didn't really have any adversaries to speak of, really, that could harm us. But look what's happened now with Antifa or Black Lives Matter doxing conservatives, pastors, conservative elected officials, activists, patriots that are actively working to, you know, protect and defend the Constitution or property rights. And then they put out this person's home address to all of these communist activists saying, what a pity it would be if this person had a Molotov cocktail thrown through their window, or if something happened to their children. Well, prior to that, you're thinking, I'm not going to use OPSEC. I'm not going to hinder myself. I'm not afraid. I don't have anything to hide. Well, maybe today you don't, but things can change. And now you can't go back and undo those things. And there are some measures that you can take. As preppers, how many of us, I think all of us have overheard somebody telling another prepper, I don't store up. I don't need to. If something happens, I'm coming to your house. Now, why would they say that? They're saying that because Mr. Prepper did not use OPSEC. He ran his mouth about how much he's got, how much stuff he has, trying to convince everybody else, you should become a prepper too. I am. I've got 3 years worth of food stored up. I've got, you know, firearms coming out my ears. I've got this and that and the next thing. And they blab their mouths. That's a violation of OPSEC. So now they've got people in their church, people at their workplace, people in their neighborhood saying, we're coming to your house. So they've got an issue. So now you've placed your family in harm's way. And a really good good demonstration of this. Many of you guys have seen this. I'm going to put this in the highlights and resources posting. It is a Twilight Zone from 1959 called The Shelter. Brief description of it from Idlib or one of these movie, they do little summarizations of movies and ratings and who all the actors were. And well, here's their description. A suburban dinner party is interrupted by a bulletin warning of an impending nuclear attack. As the neighbors scramble to prepare themselves, they turn against the one family, the hosts, that had installed a permanent bomb shelter underground. Of course, the guy's talking all about this bomb shelter, and they're making fun of him. And he's saying, well, you know, it's just, I want to just be smart, want to be prepared. And they're like, bah, you know, they're mocking him. And then this alert comes. You guys got to watch it yourselves. Go and look it up. Twilight Zone, The Shelter. Like I said, I'll embed it in the highlights and resources posting for this show as well. But they all turned on him because they all realized now our lives are in danger. We're desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. And now you have violated OPSEC by telling everybody in your neighborhood that you have a shelter that they have a right to, and it's not fair that you have taken preparations and they have not. So anyway, it's very revealing. The other reasons for OPSEC is look what they're doing in schools with your children. Children are very exploitable. They can be so easily manipulated. And we've seen over the past several years multiple examples of schools that are giving their kids, schools giving the children questionnaires like, do you have any guns in the home? Does your dad like to hunt? How many guns are in the home? Do you feel safe in your home? And so they're getting kids to fill out these questionnaires. And the way they soft sell it to them, the children are completely oblivious to what's happening. So in AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, we've placed a lot of emphasis on OPSEC. You can join anonymously. You're issued a call sign, alpha numeric. So you might join up and be a Juliet Sierra 52. As nothing connected to your name, it may or may not match up with the initials of your name. Oftentimes it does not. And so our members can join anonymously. They use their AMRON call sign when they're online doing our Telegram channel or on the Zello for AMRON Core or in the forum they're posting. So they can do this anonymously because you don't know who everyone else is, but it allows you to make the decision over time working with an individual so you can choose when you're comfortable deciding this guy's, he seems on the up and up. Yeah, we'll meet for coffee. And a lot of friendships have come from this, and trust has been built over years. But they were able to do that at their own pace. They're able to keep people they don't know at a distance and then choose who they feel comfortable with moving further forward in a relationship, a friendship and talking and then getting to know each other. And then, hey, there's two patriots. They're like-minded. It's the real deal. It's not an agent. It's not an informant. But they got to set the pace for how that happened. Of course, now, since January 6th, I mean, if they didn't come into your life, prior to 2 years ago, and they haven't been solid right there with you for an extended period of time, we just live in a different time now, and it's sad. We just every patriot organization is infiltrated with informants and agents, and they're trying to build information. They're trying to build databases. Who's who? What positions are they holding, and who's connected to whom? So what we want to do is minimize that as much as we can. Now, on the ham radio bands, everybody's licensed. They use their FCC call signs. And you know what? It is an emergency communications network. We have responded to multiple real world disasters, from hurricanes to floods to wildfires and you name it. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly acceptable. It's part of ham radio, which is not a conservative patriot thing. There are liberals and communists that have their ham licenses who take to the airwaves and try to see how many countries they can talk to and share weather reports and so on and so forth. So what we do, though, is keep things separately. So you'd never use your AMRON call sign over ham radio. You'd never use your FCC call sign and off the air when you're not on a ham radio setting, to try not to enable people to connect the dots as easily. You're minimizing your exposure to somebody trying to find out, Julia Sierra 5-2 is John Jacob. You're not just putting that up on a membership list on the internet where everybody can line everything up and find out who's who. So, we take reasonable measures, and you can look up anybody's FCC call sign, just like a pilot or the tail number on an airplane, and look up on the internet and see, because it's federally registered. So we encourage our ham operators to register with a PO box. So if you get somebody that's, gets themselves all worked up over anything Patriot, because everything Patriot is Nazi, white supremacist, nationalist, Trumper, terrorist, it's all the same thing to them. So, somebody being able to look up your call sign and in an hour, they're standing on your front doorstep with a Molotov cocktail in their hand, and they want to let you know they hate patriots. It really depends on, who your adversary is. It could also be an invading foreign military, where they're trying to find out who's who. You want to be able to have certain... You're going to adjust your OPSEC accordingly, depending on who your adversary might be. So I've covered this a little bit in the past, but for security measures, I did a series last year. I'm going to compile all that together and add it to the Underground series, which basically deals with security, encryption, and security measures, OPSEC. So if you go to radiofreeredoubt.com and type in OPSEC in the search box, you'll find postings related to security and encryption and anonymous use of the internet, different things that you can do to increase your security, minimize exposure of who you are, who you're communicating with, what you're communicating. And, is a great introduction to get you started. There's a whole podcast series that I did, and there are resources and highlights postings related to each topic that I covered. You can go and you can get those and go through that. And a lot of you that are new, want to invite you to go back and look at that series and go through that series and start implementing some of that stuff. There's at Amron.com, you can do the same thing. I think there's maybe just one article there covering OPSEC, but I've covered this just a lot over the last, over the last 10 years, 11 years. But you'll also find at Radio Free Redoubt a good posting on information operations, part one. And this is from Sam Culper when he was running Guerrilla America. So I reposted this article. Information operations is a critical part of a resistance movement and included within the IO family, that's information operations, of effects of what I consider to be three of the most important to a resistance: psychological operations, or PSYOPs, military deception, or MILDEC, and operations security, OPSEC. As long as you're standing up an analysis and control element, an ACE, I would highly encourage you to, in addition to mastering the core functions of the ACE, learn about and implement along with your command these IO capabilities. This is a brief foundational overview of PSYOP, PSYOP. And I got to look. I think those Guerrilla America postings are still up, but he covers OPSEC much more in depth. And I'm going to do that in upcoming podcast, probably next week. I might just do a part two to this, go into a little bit more of the TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures of OPSEC, denying an adversary information that could harm you one day. So, all right, I'll leave it at that. That's a good little introduction or reintroduction. I'll come back with Lady Liberty in segment three right after this. So you stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
I would never suggest this, but I will tell you, they're so lucky that we're peaceful.
They're so lucky we've been peaceful so far.
That's right.
And for so long. Good evening, Lady Liberty. Welcome to segment three. We've got three segments tonight.
Yes.
So how are you?
Well, fantastic. And, well, thanks for having me back when we finally got back.
Yes.
Gosh, you know, there's some really, really cool things happening. You know, it's nice to see it there for about 2 years. We had very little good news to dig up and report on, you know. And,
right.
And we always tried to keep the chin up and keep the encouragement and hope levels up according to scripture.
Yes.
But it was hard to find anything productive coming out of the United States on the Republic's behalf, right?
Right.
And so thank goodness now, though, the tide is turning and the people are having enough time to actually get their ducks in a row and figure out how to fight back. And largely due to Trump's huge Save America effort and his and all of the donations that he brought in to get so many of those candidates into office.
And, oh, yeah.
And what was cool about that strategy was that the left put all of their money on the swing states and the pivotal elections. But I believe that they overlooked all the huge number of rural contributors, that if that huge number was able to coordinate and actually get into office past all of their voter fraud efforts, which were huge in the swing states.
Oh, yeah.
If they were able to actually organize and get it together enough to get those people elected, then we would have a chance, which is exactly what the result was with the House, right? We won the House, and it was because of all of the little insignificant people that got overlooked. And so
that's true. I mean, because if they had not stolen the elections that they did, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, we'd have a much stronger majority in the House and we would have a majority in the Senate.
That's right.
You know,
exactly. Well, even just, gosh, Wisconsin and Arizona, you know, had we had those two senators there as well. And we still may get the Arizona senator. I think all the other states just kind of threw in the towel and gave up before they even started, and which is sad. And that's a defeatist way of looking at it, you know, on their behalf. I mean, that's shameful that they didn't get real super aggressive like they ought to have.
So what updates do we have for tonight?
But we do have the good updates for Arizona. And well, and we also have just a we were big on the Brunson case following, and so I have their statement that they posted on their channel that I just wanted to share with you as kind of an update from them for a while. It's going to take them approximately 2 months before they get anything back up there with the Supreme Court, but they posted to our patriotic followers. We told you we were prepared for a denial. This battle has only just begun. We want to thank all of you for your incredible efforts in sending your letters and spreading our social pages. They make a difference.
Yep.
Be sure to continue sending letters to SCOTUS and to spread the word so that others can too. We've been incredibly moved and touched by all your support and, more importantly, your prayers. We can feel them. Please keep praying. Keep hope. This is not over by any means. As we work out our next steps to further our efforts, we wanted to encourage you all to keep fighting the good fight. With love, the Brunson Brothers. And cool. And so they are submitting their next stream of paperwork. I mean, they like they said, they were expecting a denial. They were prepared for the denial, and they already have their backup plan and ready to engage, right?
That's right.
Engage. And so they have. And so there's that to look forward to. And I just have to ask, though, and in fact, I put in a phone call and a couple texts to Loy Brunson asking for a list of those 388 people that were actually served. They actually got served with a lawsuit.
Right.
And so I want to know, I want that list. I would like to see the list, because that list goes back to all of the states. All those people come from these 50 states, and each one of them that is on that list has actually voted in favor of going against the law to investigate the election fraud of 2020. They voted to do something illegal.
Yes.
And so I want to know who those people are.
That's right.
And, you know, in fact, my other question was, you know, here we've got this great thing happening in the House. However, their first seven bills did not address any of the four top priorities of this nation. And the first bill that should have even come out of the gates should have been the bill to eliminate and ban all U.S. electronic voting machines. Where's that?
Exactly.
What on earth happened to priority number one?
That's right.
There is no nation without legitimate elections. How come that was not the first thing screaming out of the gates?
That's right.
And number two, where's the bill to finish the border wall?
Yep.
Basically secure the border, bring that back in line. That we also cannot have a nation without a secure border.
That's right.
There's no such thing as a nation without a border.
Right.
Right? I mean, where does that start and stop? You know, what are we now? Right. Part of Colombia, Venezuela, South America? I mean, you know, you have a border for a reason.
Well, the Marxists want us to be, you know, the North American Union.
Like they sure do.
Like the European Union, which, see how that worked out for them. It's
right.
Imploding.
Right, yeah, way back with George Bush Sr., he even started calling us North America, which I adamantly refused to use that term. It's like, no, we are not North America. We are the United States of America, period.
Yep.
And we will never be North America.
We are these United States
America. That's right. And so third, I want to know where the bill to prohibit any more funding to Ukraine is. Where's that bill? Never heard anything about that. We're hearing everything about, oh, now we're running up against the budget limit. Well, guess why?
Right.
We keep just pouring all of our money into some other nation that we're never going to see.
We'll call it the reduction of probability of conflict with Russia Act. How's that?
Something, my goodness. And so then the fourth bill should have been to a bill to investigate the foreign interference into the election fraud of 2020, where they know for a fact it's the Chinese that have their great and massive interference into it. And we've already pointed that out from the Carter Center.
Yeah, how about an investigation into the Carter Center?
That's exactly it. That's 39
countries, 100 elections,
exactly.
Including Brazil.
And it's the CCP that's basically in charge of the entire Carter Center, that's in charge of all of the vote machine monitoring.
And George Soros and Bill Gates. Of course, George Soros was really quick to jump up there and denounce the uprising on January 8th in Brazil. You know, that's democracy must be preserved in Brazil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's part of funding the Carter Center, which was the unbiased third party overseeing the elections there.
Right. And it's such a joke to even say that they're using a democratic process when their right. when their democratic process says, hey, if you throw an opponent up here, we're going to Gaddafi him.
Yep.
You know, if he dare run against us and you all support him, we're going to indict him. We're going to, you know, attack him. We're going to, you know, that's not a democratic process.
Well, exactly. And it should be a democratic process, not democracy.
Right.
And, you know, ever since perestroika, today we're seeing the full maturity of the term democracy as it was intended to be a word to replace communism.
No, that's democratic socialism.
Right.
Yeah. And so, but right. it's...
But still, I mean, they're using the word democracy now to even replace democratic socialism.
Well,
they've taken it to the next level now. It's
like they almost use democracy in the same way Antifa uses fascist. You know, like if a dog's an ugly dog, they say, ooh, that's a fascist dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? They have no concept of what the word actually means.
Right.
And so now their view is like, if it's on our side, it's democracy, right? If it has anything good to do with what we like in our agenda, we'll call that a democracy.
Right. You know?
So
exactly.
Horrible misuse of terms. Oh.
They're good at perverting our language.
They're good at perverting everything.
Yep.
Okay, so the update from Arizona that is very exciting and super glad to see that is an attorney filing suit against the judge who dismissed Carrie Lake's election contest. And so, well, God bless this guy, Ryan Heath, an attorney who started the Gavel Project to engage in lawfare against woke ideology, has filed suit against the judge who dismissed Carrie Lake's election lawsuit. Submitted on Monday, the writ of mandamus demands that Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson vacate his ruling and award the election to Lake. Fantastic.
Yep.
Heath told the Arizona Sun-Times he doesn't really know where Thompson came up with the high bar he required Lake's attorneys to prove in order to overturn the election. Thompson required showing by clear and convincing evidence that the misconduct was intentional and meant to change the election, was performed by one of the appropriate people in charge, and that it did change the election. And so, good grief, that's exactly what we need to have is, you know, you and I keep asking, where are the people sticking up for her? How come they're not attacking this woke government down there, you know?
And, exactly.
And so it's fantastic to see that. In fact, the fact that it's a writ of mandamus is what's particularly interesting. And Carrie Lake also had something to say recently about it. She said, we have to stop this nonsense. We have a wide open border, a cartel takeover of our state, a fentanyl crisis, a crime epidemic, and corrupt rigged election.
Yes.
And this is what the fraud called Katie Hobbs prioritizes. God help us. She's referring to what somebody posted about Katie Hobbs that describes, if the rumor is true, Arizona's Katie Hobbs will sign an executive order to force kids in schools to call each other by the pronoun of their choosing. That's her big deal. That's Katie Hobbs' yep. number one priority right there.
That and dismantling the border wall is there.
Taking down the border wall.
You're going to suspend or expel students for refusing to call a boy a girl if he wants to be called a girl.
Yeah, that's, you know what?
That's pure lunacy.
Pure insane. And so, oh my gosh. What? I'm just glad to see that there is somebody like Ryan Heath, this attorney. And gosh, if we can go and support the Gavel Project, I think that's exactly what needs to happen and happen big time, which is his project to engage in lawfare against the woke ideology.
Good.
And so, yeah, that article was from the ArizonaSunTimes.com, and we can post that on our channel if you like.
That's awesome. We need more patriot lawyers to be engaged in this. They have a skill set. They have a duty, in my opinion, because the left, they're either paying their lawyers with deep pockets from people like Soros, or these people are pro bono. They're just in the cause, in the fight, and destroying conservatives through lawfare.
Exactly. And they've got all of the funding and backing to do it. So it's time that attorneys do step up, maybe even on their own dollar. I mean, that's God put them there for a reason, in this time for a reason. Maybe right. they should use all of their pro bono efforts to try to save America, for crying out loud, even if that means that they spend all their time filing these lawsuits and maybe less time making money for themselves. Setting up a pact or an organization is always a good idea. But a little bit more on this, it says that Heath's writ of mandamus, which is a type of lawsuit seeking to order a public official to do their job, focused on the problems with signature verification. He reviewed the minimal amount of time signature verification workers were given to compare signatures on each ballot envelope with the signatures in the system. He argued that it was physically and mathematically impossible for them to have engaged in the statutorily mandated task of verifying signatures. Yep. He said it would take 30 seconds to verify a signature, but the signatures were verified at a rate of one in less than a second, at 0.975 seconds, and he declared it's physically impossible for human beings to pull off any meaningful comparison with any reasonable accuracy.
That's right.
So sounds like he's got some teeth and some aggression, and he's going for it just like he ought to. So, so that's fantastic, and we'll take it. And what was interesting was shortly before they came to the conclusion with what the Supreme Court would do with a Brunson Brothers case. One night, I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and something just popped into my head, and it was the term writ of mandamus. It just came into my head.
Yes.
I've never even heard of writ of mandamus, and yep. it just popped into my head for some reason. And typically, when the Lord sends me statements like that, I pay attention, because typically I don't even know what they mean and I have to go look them up.
Yep. And when so, he does, it's something that's going to be coming into your life somehow. You're going to cross paths with it.
Right. It means something. It's happening somewhere, and he draws my attention to it like in the next few days or the next week or so. So this is the first time that I've seen anything about writ of mandamus. I had even posted that happened on our morning commute channel, and I told you about it. And
yes.
So I'm happy to see that that's what this attorney is using down there in Arizona, is a writ of mandamus. So cool.
So cool. All yeah. right. Was that our update? That's what you had?
Oh, we could go on. We could go on
well,
and on.
We got
and on.
About 2 minutes, so...
Well, in that case, let me throw one other thing out there that in Arkansas, so thrilled to see it, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who made it into the governorship right
yes.
there. She said, "Today I was proud to sign an executive order terminating 5 existing orders on COVID. In Arkansas, we will not have mask or vaccine mandates. We will not shut down churches or schools, and we will move beyond COVID. I stand for freedom, and it's time to get back to normal." 3 cheers for Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Hooray. Yep. Good on her.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So glad she made it. And Trump was backing her also. So.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be a good governor, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. She's got some big shoes to fill.
No kidding.
With her dad there.
That's right. That's right.
Lots of great expectations out of her.
Yep. Agreed.
Right. Well, I'll let you say good night to the listeners, and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and every weekday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, for the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty.
So. That's right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and always be looking up. We are in the end times, so always be looking up and stay encouraged and be a light to your fellows.
That's right. All right, guys, you have a blessed and a safe week. Join us next Sunday night for episode 23-02. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from Patriot-held territory. Good night.